save your brain and get rock hard boners? Like, this is a gift from God, man.
And it's 2024, baby.
That's it.
That's all you need to know.
I identify as a brunette white male. That is press. Brutal. What those poor princesses have to go through.
I know. Their life must be so hard. It's got to be difficult to be a fucking princess.
Tell 'em, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell 'em, Steve Dave. Walt is here.
I am.
And BQ is back, baby. Back
Hello.
In the saddle.
I heard I missed a banger of an episode. Oh, Ming Chen.
Ming Chen dispensing
extravaganza.
Advice, handing down life lessons to all who want a podcast.
Oh, really? That's what it was?
Well, some of it, yeah. Walt solicited some questions from listeners to see what they wondered about Ming in the podcasting game.
Okay.
Ming couldn't answer most of them, though.
Yeah. The Maverick came up short, I felt, on plenty of those questions. In fact,
That's why he's the Maverick, man. What's more Maverick than that?
He avoided every question.
Now he's throwing pizza at people on the streets. He's causing all sorts of problems everywhere.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the pizza deal, go to Ming's Twitter or X or whatever at MingChen37, and you can see Ming mix it up with what appears to be a homeless guy.
Wait, that guy was homeless?
I believe so. I mean, that's what Ming said. He thought that was the case.
I haven't done it in quite some time, and I hope you guys don't mind, but can I dedicate this episode to a listener?
Sure. Whenever in the past, it's always seemed to be worthy. So,
well, I think this one is definitely worthy. I had a listener contact me and tell me something that warmed my heart. He was working in a retail situation, and he was wearing something Four Color Demon related. And a customer came in and knew what TSD was and started talking shit.
What? What?
Yes. Started talking shit about TSD. He was saying shit about Bri, saying shit about BQ. But it was when he said that Walt Flanagan was a self-righteous, egotistical prude. This listener got out from behind the counter fucking and threw this customer out of the store.
What kind of store was it? Do you know?
It was a drugstore.
A drugstore? Good. I mean, I would have rather him thrown them out when he was offending me in BQ. He didn't have to get to you.
He did say, though, which I thought was funny, he said it was only when he said I was a prude that it annoyed him.
When you said that you were a prude?
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed prude?
No, when the guy accused me of being a prude.
Oh, and the guy said you were a prude.
Okay. That's when he had said too much, he felt, and he told him to get the fuck out of the store and not to come back.
All right. That's how a young BQ got his start.
He's going to try to send me the security footage.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be fucking
if we could put that up on our YouTube.
He's not worried about losing his job, treating customers like that?
That's why I don't think the security footage is ever coming, because then I could probably get him in trouble. But I told him I would tile it out, you know, and make sure his face can't be seen or any of the establishment, you know, but we'll see. We'll see if we can get that footage. But I thought that was awesome, because I think a lot of people walk around thinking that they can talk shit as if they're online in the real world nowadays. You know, that they get this comfort zone that, like, well, I said it online, why can't I say it here?
I don't find that with people. I find most people are pussies and don't say shit in public.
Yeah, me too.
Oh no, man! I see it all the time. People say shit and they kind of fucking realize, they're like, oh my god, I shouldn't have said that.
I didn't type that.
Yeah, I didn't type that. I said that out loud. and then they backtrack so fast.
Yeah, I did.
That has not been my experience. I find that, like, yeah, I agree with Brian. Like, most people, again, like, I think the type of person that goes online and writes, like, sour fucking missives and shit like that, nasty little fucking comments, I think, like, in person, I don't know. I don't think they would say it. Like, the type of person that goes online to be like, eh, bitchy little comment, and, like, gets the joy out of that, is, like, in person, like, you wouldn't even want to be around that person. So it's like, you probably, I don't know, I probably wouldn't run into that person because no, people don't talk like that in real life. Like, cunty little comments and, like, shit screaming into the void constantly about, like, things I don't like about that. Like, I've rarely met people like that in the real life, Walt. Like, you're telling me you see that in the real world?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it at stores. People, like, talking to employees pretty harshly and being, you know, jerks. And just, like, you know, flexing their muscles because they, you know, they feel that they're online and that they're not online. You know, and it's gross. Yeah. Whatever happened to – when did it evaporate? When did this become not doable for most people? When did – if you don't have something nice to say, say nothing. Why is that so hard to do in 2024?
Because talking shit is easy. Coming up with nice things about people is difficult.
No. Just being – if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing.
Oh, don't say anything negative at all. Well, fuck, I'd be a mute. I'd be Helen Keller over here.
But why is that so
podcast
foreign, you think, today in today's world?
I think that – I mean, I've said it before. I think people are unhappy, and I think that
and they want to spread the misery
breeds – yeah, I've said – like I say, man, I don't think happy people go online and make little – you know what I mean? Like – if you're happy with your life and you're fucking – because I've done it in the past, and every time I've done it, I've been a fucking little piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like, so I just think that people who feel good about their own lives and stuff like that don't go online and scream and make little shitty comments and stuff like that. Because, look, it is fun at times to do that. Like, nobody's saying it's not, but, like, there are people who just do it. Like, it's their identity. I don't know, man. It's just
– well, it is fun to troll.
I think just people are unhappy.
But it's brutal, though. What you see what, like, some of these real famous people have to go through, like the princess. What she had to go through and all the trolls and all the nasty comments. And it's just – like, how do you deal with that if you're getting that kind of level of hate and –
Which princess?
The princess who had
Meghan Markle,
both,
or Kate Middleton. Well, both. Kate Middleton, I think, is favored over Meghan. Nobody likes Meghan Markle.
Why though? What did she do so wrong?
Because she's one of these like Hollywood inside type people who think she's hotter than shit, and I think that's why people don't like her.
Why do you assume that though? What proof do you have that she?
I'm saying what I gather from reading. You know,
I think it's press. Brutal what those poor princesses have to go through.
I know their life must be so hard. It's got to be difficult to be a fucking princess.
If you did a deep dive and just saw some of the fucking heinous shit people write about them,
sure,
I think you would be shocked. I think you would be absolutely appalled.
What could be worse than wishing death upon somebody, though? Because I remember when Kevin got that troll and somebody was like, instead of making He-Man, I wish you had died. And then somebody wrote that. Yeah. And like, what's worse than that, though?
I don't know. I know somebody made fun of me in one of our YouTube videos that I dyed my hair still.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, what?
That's worse than die.
That's worse than wishing death upon him.
They're making fun of me, and I just
a different type of die.
I want to be able to tell that person. I hope they're listening. Is like I identify as a white male with brunette hair,
and it's 2024, baby.
That's it.
That's all you need to know.
I identify as a brunette white male. fuck off. That should be enough. I should not have to hear anybody say anything about my dye job.
You shouldn't. Well, that's the world we live in.
You just stay online.
Like if this were back in the day when it was like, hey, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all, it might have worked. But somebody's like, all right, dye your hair, will you? We'll just see about that.
the I think, like, for me, there's, you know, I could look back at fucking 10 years of criticism online, like, you know what I mean? Like, just people ripping on us and shit. The only time it's ever bothered me was when I agreed with them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where somebody says a nasty comment that I'm like, ah, they kind of got a point. But, like, that happens so fucking rarely that you just got to water, like, it says more about them than you, and you just ignore it, man. Who gives a fuck? I mean, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, who cares what they say about your hair? Fuck them. Stay offline.
It's easy.
Unless you agreed with them, then it might sting.
No, I don't agree with them, but it's easy to say that, though. You know, it's easy to say that, and then, you know, who cares? But I just think it's easier said than done. And look, man, that is a lie that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's bullshit. It's bullshit. Words can hurt just as much, if not more, than sticks and stones.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if I go online and see somebody, like, say some shit about me, like, whatever, look at this fat fuck, right? It's like, I'm like, all right, so what? Who gives a fuck? Somebody says, like, he's not funny. I'm like, okay. It's like, sure, I have a fucking highly successful career in comedy, so I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, if I don't give a fuck, I don't know. Well, I think he's just got to be like, fuck him. Fuck him, bro. Okay.
I know. Again, it's very easy said to them, but I'll show you a guy. I'll point to something I just watched online. It was on Apple TV. It's called The Dynasty, and it's a multi-part documentary about the New England Patriots, and they have coverage of Bill Belichick and some of his head coaches, and they have footage of them like listening to talk radio, reading the newspaper, the columns, and being highly annoyed about the criticisms that they're facing, even though they're fucking at the top of their game.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a difference, Walt, between getting criticized in like a national news program or a national paper, as opposed to one fucking dickless asshole online who's got nothing better to do than to be like, here's a fucking funny little nasty comment. Like, I think it's a little different.
At the end of the day, I disagree. I think it's the same thing. It's just on a different context, though. They were telling Belichick that he didn't know what he was doing, and like, with these idiots, you know, we gotta get rid of all of them. They're making all the wrong decisions. And then, bam. They win multiple Super Bowls, and they still can't stop listening to talk radio. On the way to the job, they're listening to talk radio and getting agitated about the ignorance of the callers, you know, critiquing them or criticizing them.
But that's like if say, like, you're a contractor and you have, like, the homeowner come in and be like, oh, I don't know if I would do it that way. Are you sure you're supposed to do it that way? It's like these like, armchair people who, like, Belichick should be like, these people don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be able
just
to.
Like, just like Hugh said, you tell these people to fuck off. But it's hard as a human being, though, to –
But like somebody saying like, hey man, Walt dyes his hair. It's like, that's just a fact. It's like, it's not.
Well, they didn't say that. It wouldn't be that bad if it was just, hey, Walt dyed his hair. No, it was like, Walt looks like an idiot dyeing his hair at his age.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to say it.
I make it, put it out there on Broad Street.
Well, it does help clarify a little bit that you're not that easily offended. Like, yeah. Walt dyes his hair. Who said that? What?
I'm not denying it. I just like, but I think it's like, why did that person feel the need to say that and hurt my feelings?
But I see you all the time, and not once has it ever occurred to me like, ooh, he looks like an idiot.
Yeah, but you're it's different though. Like, it's just different. I don't know why that person like gets up and is watching and is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, it would be
– purpose?
Yeah, though? Definitely. For me, if I'm like watching something and I'm like, oh, wow, that guy fucking is dying his hair. It's obvious. Howard Stern. Obvious, like, case of somebody who's either dyeing their hair or is wearing a wig and is denying it. Like, the dude's hair is jet black at 70 years old, and people have called him on it, and he insists that it's his real hair. Not once have – I don't think it's his real hair, but not once have I ever been like, I think I'll tweet in. I think I'll tweet in.
And Tom Brady was in this documentary called The Dynasty, and I really think he's dyeing his hair too. If I had to guess, if I had to weigh big bucks, I'm almost positive he's dying. I couldn't see one white hair on that guy's head. And I'm like, but I would never go – well, I just did now and said that. But I would never be prompted to go write a review or write a comment online that, like, I think Tom Brady's dying his hair. He looks like, what a joke. What a vain asshole.
It's hard to call him a joke. It's tough to call Tom Brady a joke, regardless of what he does anymore.
But I guarantee you, though, even Tom Brady, I bet you, when he looks at online comments and if he sees something, I just think even he is probably annoyed or stung by some criticism.
I don't think so, dude. I don't think he cares.
If he was to admit
it. How could he care?
If he could brutally honest. Because why would Bill Belichick – why would Bill Belichick – he said he's reached the mountain just as many times as Tom Brady. Well, actually one less time than Tom Brady. But but he was at the top of his game. He was called the greatest coach ever. In the entire history of the league, he was considered the greatest coach that ever coached. And he's still finding time to – listen to criticism, listen to fucking people who are fucking making donuts, but yet are telling Bill Belichick how he should have coached the team. Right. And he's still finding time to be agitated by it.
He shouldn't, because, like, sports is made for trash talking. Like modern sports is a little, like, sanitized, right? But, like, we all know that when guys get on that field and start playing each other and there are no rules and no penalties.
And no mics.
It's trash talk. And no mics. It's fucking trash talk-o-rama. I think it's built into – I think sports has lost something.
Oh, well, there's definitely penalties now. There are certain things you can't say. You can't call somebody, like,
sure. I understand that. That I get.
And if the referee hears it, you're going to get a penalty if he hears that word.
No. Well, let's say you're of the same color. Can you not?
Oh, no, no.
Friendly?
No. That wasn't the word.
Oh, that's not the word?
No. I think it's a word that
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not very nice to gay people.
But, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, look. You know, I guess there are some people that would get, I don't know. Like, there are some people that would get hurt by that, I guess. Sure, of course, like that. But I mean, like, if you're just ripping on someone and calling them a fucking bitch or like calling them like they, I don't know. Like, I just think trash talking is built into it. So maybe he should have a thicker skin. You know what I'm saying, Belichick? Because I guarantee when he was listening to the radio, when he was just a fan, he was sitting there going like, oh, fuck. Yogi Berra, whoever the hell he was playing back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, it's built into the sport. I think that's a long difference from someone. How did somebody comment on your hair? Where was that? Twitter or?
I was on YouTube. Look at, like, this clown still dyeing his hair.
I mean, that person.
I tried to get it removed, like, from YouTube, but YouTube wouldn't.
They wouldn't strike him.
They wouldn't strike it.
Yeah. I don't think the person that said that is a happy person. Because a happy person does not go on. A happy person doesn't give a fuck about your hair.
Okay.
And then if they do and want to have part of the show, part of the spirit of the show, you know, there's ways to do it that are fun, like a little tongue in cheek. That's not a happy person.
But what if you found out, and what if I found out he's absolutely happy?
I think that's impossible.
Really? Brian, is that impossible?
I don't think a happy person does that.
I don't think it's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible. No, I wouldn't say that. But it does speak of like having the time to go out of your way to – and it doesn't take long to leave a comment. But it's just as easy, in fact, easier to not leave a comment. You know? It's easier just to not say shit, to just think like, oh, my God, look at this guy. And that's it. Move on with your day. But to go down – like, who's it for? It wasn't like addressed directly to you, so why is he even writing it?
That's what I'm saying. It's serving something inside of them that needs to be – that the fucking guy, he can't stop. That he needs something to make himself feel better, whereas a happy person has a wife they love, has a house they love, has fucking whatever, like does not worry about digesting.
It's good advice, Q, and you know what I did do? I went out and I brought a darker shade of dye. So fuck this guy. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dye it darker, asshole.
It's going to look like Elvis over here.
My wife was like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "I'm sure."
Jet black. That's the only way to go.
I'll show him.
Yeah, like the dye box has a black guy, has like a black guy on the cover. Like that. He's like, "Yeah, this will match that."
I saw something. I did a show. Who are these podcasts? A show that I like. And shout out to our friend Trucker Andy, who was repping Four Color Demons with a cap on the show.
Nice.
But I went back and I looked at the comments to see, you know, what people were thinking. And one of the comments struck me that I was just like, I don't agree with it. But it was like, tell him Steve Dave used to be the best podcast out there until Brian Q got these big egos. And after that, it sucked.
Me?
I have
a big ego?
I guess so. According to this person, I was just like, I was trying to find evidence of it. I was trying to think back.
Wait, hold on. He never mentioned me.
He didn't mention you, no.
Okay.
No, nothing about your ego or your hair or anything.
Look, I'm a human. I'm sure there have been times I've displayed something akin to that, but I think anybody who knows me overall does not think that I have a show ruining ego.
I wouldn't think so either. Yeah, I read that and I tried to think about, like, I mean, is there anyone more self-deprecating than myself? Is there anyone who has admitted to self-hatred more than me? Like, where I just don't get where the ego comes from.
Oh, they were talking about you?
They were talking about me and you.
Oh,
we ruined it together. We ruined it with our big egos.
I mean, that's mystifying to me.
Yeah, I couldn't think of
a thing. You have a big ego?
Yeah, me, I know. Like, what,
yeah. All right. But that's the thing. Like, that's the thing about art. And if we consider podcast an art, which, why not? Like, it's open to interpretation. Right?
Right.
So, at least they're talking about you. You know?
Well, yeah.
That old adage?
He didn't mention me, though.
He didn't mention you.
My ego's just as big as yours.
You were beneath mention.
Well, you should, if you really want to see some vicious comments next time we're together, what I'll do is I'll sit you down and take you through all the comments in the episodes that were released after Joe left the show. Oh. Of Practical Jokers. I mean, it was a fucking it was a slaughterhouse, man. Bloodbath. I'm not watching the show without Joe. No Joe, no show, which we always found funny because it's just like, well, yeah, there is a show. You know what I mean? There is a show without Joe, so I don't know what to tell you. But, like, you know, we get slaughtered, and, like, I'll see people on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck it's called, being like, the show sucks now without Joe. I've never watched an episode without Joe. And you're like,
Then how do you know?
How do you know the show sucks? Yeah, I know. It's like, but these are the people you're dealing with. Like, why is a person hunting me out on Twitter to write no Joe, no show to me? Like, what is that?
Yeah,
person
you've
get
got
from
to
that?
Wonder. That's why I would love to, like, meet people like that. And talk to them.
But that's the same type of person that if he were to see Q in the wild, he'd be like, oh my God, it's Q. Can I get a picture? Hey, Q, I love the show. Yeah. Oh.
Right. And even if you sat down a person like that and be like, look, dude, we're responsible for 100 people's fucking, you know, incomes. We have a contract to make the show. You know what I mean? Like, if you explained all these things, like, we still want to do the show. I still love doing it. Why should I stop? Because you could explain all of that to them, and it wouldn't change their fucking mind. They'd be like, yeah, no Joe, no show. So it's like
– not to mention, Joe left of his own accord.
Joe left. I didn't want him to go. I fucking wish Joe was still on the show. Of course I wish he was still on the show. He did most of the fucking work.
Did it,
you know
did
how
it
hard
bother?
I have to work now?
Did it upset any of the guys?
No, we – look.
When you read the comments,
no, I don't
mean.
Think so.
No? Well, you guys are – so. Yeah, that. I mean, I don't know. I guess it says more about me then that it bothered me though. You know, I don't know. Maybe a little –
well, well, it's just like a snipe out of nowhere for no reason.
About, you know, I was a little – yeah, it's like it says something about my self-confidence then or my vanity. Or
they know?
Or well, my – I don't know, but
– well,
it's –
let me
know.
Also
– and again, I think you're 100% right in how you should proceed when seeing things like that, but it's hard. I it's hard though.
It's hard. You're a human. It's not like I'm perfect at it. Like I said, sometimes I'll read comics where I'm like, ah – that I kind of not agree, but like I see where they're coming from type right. thing. You know what I mean? And it hurts. You know, it does. I can't say that I've never gone online and read something bad about myself or people who try to dig up like personal fucking shit, like psycho. You know what I mean? Like that hasn't bothered me, but I would say 90% of the times I'm like, this is a psycho. This is a fucking person who – this is an unhappy person. This is a miserable – like you're able to like see for where it's coming from. But it's not easy, Walton. I've gotten bothered by stuff too. So I don't want to sit here like I'm some sort of fucking Buddha.
But for the most part, you feel you have like kind of a duck body.
Yeah, I think it says more about –
where you have not like – not your body shape. But I mean like your – like a duck. Like,
it was you.
You're the one who called me a duck.
It was you who called me fat.
No, like a duck, like water off the back of a duck, I meant.
I truly feel it says more about them than it says about me. I do.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good way to like handle shit. Just keep reminding yourself of that. But, you know, I got to work.
And also stay offline. I don't go online.
Yeah, I could do
that. Anytime I go, just stay the fuck off. Just don't even go.
Yeah. That's
right. Yeah, I don't read comments either usually just because it's like then I would have to address them.
You know? I try not to do that. I like to address things. Feel it's a bad move. Done it. Yeah. And then always just like, what a waste of time.
Well, you can't win an argument online. It's not possible.
We have a man here that's won. I think he's like, he's almost got like a 900% win record. Get him, Steve Dave. I wish he could talk about all his victories online. Yeah, this is a man that wins 9 out of 10 arguments online.
No, are these people that concede? Are they like, all right, get it. All right, you got me.
No, he pretty much proclaims himself the winner and moves on.
That's what we should do. We're the winners.
Well, why not? Why doesn't his opinion holds as much weight as these fucking psychos online? So if Kittim says he won, who are we to say he didn't win? He won. Yeah. Right?
Very, very true.
Yeah. Nobody's opinion matters and we'll all be dead in 100 years. So what the fuck does it, you know? Kittim's right.
But when I die? Fucking hair is going to be black in that coffin, bitch.
Good.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be darker than the fucking wood finish on that fucking coffin.
It's going to be staining the satin in the coffin and shit.
When we dig him up in 100 years, his hair will be perfectly preserved from chemicals.
Yeah, it's like women dye their hair. Like nobody says a goddamn word about it.
Well, look, like I said, man, if I identify as a brunette – should be – end of story. End of conversation, right? End of conversation.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be, but it's not for certain.
We don't have the same protection as other groups. Nobody's looking out for us.
What do you mean, brunettes? You know what, Walt? You know what, bud? Can I tell you this too, bud? I spent today – I hosted this Make-A-Wish thing in the city today. So for about 5 hours today, I was spending my time talking with kids who have cancer, kids who have debilitating disease, kids who are in wheelchairs that can't walk, kids with deformities. And like, really, I just got home from it. And it's like, I was immersed in it all day. And you meet these kids and you see their capacity for joy. You know what I mean? In, you know, and I remember, you know, when I was young, like I would be like, life sucks. And you know what I mean? And I'm depressed. I don't feel down. And then you see these kids and it's like he's the doctor's literally like, we don't know if we're going to be able to beat this. The kid, you know, the mother's crying while she's talking to me. And these kids are just playing with each other and talking to you. And it's just like, man, they are facing things that I have never had to face and probably won't have to face until I get old and my health starts going. And you know what I mean? And like, so in the face of that, I think it's good to keep that in mind. And it's hard to worry about what some fucking dickweed says about your hair when you have two beautiful, healthy kids, a beautiful, healthy family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
I know.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. You're happy. You're happy. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a great life, a great family. So it's just like living that.
Sage-like advice, brother. Yeah. You are 100% right. You're fucking – this goes for everybody. Yeah. Everybody who deals with like, you know, I wish Meghan Markle would listen to this podcast and And all people like
her. She doesn't listen to little people like us. No, she's Meghan Markle. I think even Mrs. Five doesn't like her. That says a lot.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think she's not crazy about her. Could be wrong, just in case I don't want to smirch Mrs. Five and her relationship with Meghan Markle. Did you go see Ghostbusters?
I saw – well, I went to the premiere. I saw Ghostbusters. Yeah, I saw Ghostbusters. I saw the part. They had the change. I was supposed to be – I was supposed to have a little thing in it. Anyway, a bunch of things happened. So I saw where I would have been in it, and I was like, oh, man.
Could have been me.
I was a little depressed. It could have – should have been me. It could have been me. But, you know, a lot of it takes place on Staten Island. I didn't know that.
Was not aware. Are you going to see it, Walt?
Oh, yeah.
Will you go see it?
I'll see it. I've always enjoyed Ghostbusters. There's like, I think Hugh's age group like worships Ghostbusters, like Ming and like Ming is your age, right? Or is he
a little older? Yeah. Slightly older.
Like I like Ghostbusters and I think Hugh's demographic, like his age group loves Ghostbusters, but I've always liked it. I've liked every version of it. There hasn't been even the girl one that, you know, I was the only one. You know,
I remember you singing the praises.
The girls one. I thought that guy Thor was great in that one.
And I went online and commented about you.
But this one looks good too. I heard it did the best opening of any Ghostbusters or something like that.
Is it?
Yeah, some crazy.
I had fun with it. I had fun with it. A lot of people I know saw it, had fun with it, but I have some people that I know and like who hate it. So I have to go see it again because I was like, oh, that was fun. But I saw it at the premiere, and I had Annie Potts to like two seats down to my left.
Whoa.
Dan Aykroyd was sitting up front. You know what I mean? Like Bill Murray was there. It's hard. Like I can't give a fair shake to it because I had such a good time. You know what I mean? Like anytime anybody walked on screen, everybody was like, yeah! You know what I mean? So it was like – so I had a lot of fun. But people I respect are like, ah, I didn't like it so much. But people I respect are like, they love it. And there is something to knowing that you know, the Ghostbusters' new home is on Staten Island. You know, I have that pride, brother.
Yeah.
So when I see that, I'm like, yeah, yeah. The Ecto-1 going over the Verrazano Bridge, I'm like, yeah. It gets me all ready, man. It gets me excited.
What is it about Staten Island that captivates people's attention? Like, now the Ghostbusters are there. What We Do in the Shadows set in Staten Island. A lot of stuff comes from Staten
Island. Yeah, that's a good question. Why has it become the jewel of the shore all of a sudden?
Because say what you will about Staten Island, and people say a lot about it, it has a reputation, it has a personality, it has its quirks that are known now nationwide. So it's kind of an easy target. But once people kick something enough, you know, then a kind of affection comes in. So I think we're in the period where people are like, what am I going to do, make another joke about fucking Staten Island, or am I going to embrace it a little bit? I think we're in that. I think we're in that era, or at least that's what I like to tell myself.
I think New Jersey also has a kind of the same kind of feelings. You know, we've always been made fun of,
like
too.
New York's little brother. Like, yeah. Oh, you want, like even when I was watching All in the Family a couple of days ago, and Archie was comparing two things, and he's like, "It's even worse than Jersey."
Yeah, so we've had our share of barbs thrown our way too, and you know, we've tried to make the best of it.
Fuck them. I wouldn't have it any other way, man. What do I want to do? What do I want to be? The fucking top dog? I want to be the underdog. You know what I mean? I want to be the fucking guy that everybody's – you know? Like, give it to me. That's where the interesting shit is. What are you, go to fucking Queens? Who gives a fuck about Queens, man?
Any more? Nobody. Nobody gives a fuck about Manhattan or the Bronx or the Queens. Actually, Staten Island is – it might be the most popular borough right now.
Really?
You said it. You said it, not me, my friend.
After all these years of dissing Staten Island and pretending it's part of the city.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go too far in this because, like, there's a lot of bad stories about Staten Island. They are not handling this migrant crisis well at all, man.
Oh, no. I've seen some of that.
Yeah. You're a little bit like – Not that the politics of it, I'm not really that interested in, but the behavior of people is a little bit like,
that's
better
where
ways to express yourself.
Where the Staten Island comes out.
Yeah, a little bit. I wish it wouldn't. Even if I agree with some of the things, I'm like, guys, you know, do you gotta be shining flashlights into little kids' beds that they're trying to sleep? I don't know if we need to do that.
Is that what they're doing?
Sort of stuff, but Yeah, there was like a protest where these fucking dingbats were outside one of the shelters and like shining super bright lights into the room and stuff. And like somebody was like, yo, there were kids getting terrified in here, man. And they didn't stop. And you're like, dude, like, I mean, you know, do you want to be the person that's doing that? You know, it's like Walt's fucking die job. Like, why do you want to be the person that's doing that? Even if you
be known for that.
Yeah. So I'm a little disappointed in that, but I don't know. That aside, you know, I love this borough with all my heart and soul. So,
what are you excited? Today was opening day for baseball. I know you're a big Yankees fan.
I was going to be excited, but then I completely forgot about it because I was I was in the thing today. I got to get back in, Walt. Honestly, I've been going to fucking more Mets games in the past few years because my friends are fucking Mets fans and stuff than I have Yankees. I got to get back into it, but I want to be back into it, Walt. I want to get back into it full time.
It doesn't feel like it's baseball season, does it, though? It feels too cold still.
It's cold and wet and muddy and shitty.
Fucking sucks, man. I've been in Florida every weekend for the past 3 weeks. So to go down there and it's 80 degrees and then to come home and it's fucking 30 degrees, I'm crying over here. It gets me pissed off. Makes me want to go online and make nasty comments about people.
It's well, you can make nasty comments about the weather. If you want to criticize the weather, that's okay. Take it out on the weather.
Yeah. But why not? Why not? And you could tell I just came from a room full of kids with cancer. Why not? Celebrate it a little bit, you
know? Weather?
Yeah, the cold sucks, but what are you going to do? You know what's worse than the cold? Being dead.
True.
This is a very optimistic look on the sunny side cue.
I love it.
Do you?
Some is coming, baby.
So I like going over to Q's house and sitting there and just fucking ragging about shit.
Really?
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Oh.
That's always available to you, Brian. Well, because we make ourselves laugh.
Yeah.
Misery loves company? Like, is that what's going on?
Could be. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I find when Brian and I get together, it's like we're mainly ripping on ourselves. Like,
yeah, we're just trying to make ourselves laugh.
Scenario. Yeah, we're just really making fun of ourselves. But yeah, I don't know, Walter. Today kind of I remember the last time I did a make a wish thing like this. I walked away feeling the same way. That shine lasted for a few months. So
right. Well, yeah.
Maybe I'm annoying really, right now.
It really affects you in a good way, I imagine. It makes you more appreciative and has to. Right? I mean, you'd have to be fucking insane not to like walk out, you know, dealing with something like that, and then realize, you know, all the shit that you were bitching about before means nothing to what those kids are going through and their families.
Yeah. Yeah. It's heartbreaking stuff, man.
Right. I remember that affecting me when we were doing a comic book, man. This family came in and they were on their way down to Philadelphia to the children's hospital because the girl had eye cancer. She was like fucking 6 or 7 years old. And I wonder if, like you were saying, Q, like they're all playing with each other and they seem happy and they're doing their own thing. Maybe like conceptually, like it's different for them because like for them to conceive of death may be very difficult. Whereas for people our age is like, oh shit, look at these kids. They don't know how fucking raw they have it.
I don't know, man. I think these kids have faced like a lot of painful surgeries and you know, and realities and stuff. I don't think they're ignorant to their plight. That's not the sense I got.
You didn't complain and bitch in front of them? You should have seen how long it took me to park.
Dude, I was like, I worked a fucking 14-hour day yesterday, kid. How do you fucking feel about that?
Let me read a couple things to you boys real quickly, if you don't mind. Let me read about Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports DFS platform in North America. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks. You pick more or less than on a 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Like you were saying, Walt, football season's over, but baseball's here. You can play NBA, NHL, and college basketball. And you can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks and turn $10 into $1,000. Conference tournaments are here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting close. That's that March Madness, right? That's what they're talking about. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men and college, women's college basketball. And Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that if your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So if this sounds like something that interests you, go to prizepicks.com/TESD and use code TESD for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/TESD and use code TESD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And then also something that's close to our heart, Q, Blue Chew. Mm. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. It's BlueChew.com. I think everybody knows what we're talking about, but I'll tell you anyway. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part is it's on all online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Just comes right to your door. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly. Hold on, I just lost my spot. Shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Like I've said, Q and I have both used it. We've both had spectacular results. We both felt like we were 18 again. We were playing with each other. Yeah, we each popped one and, you know, compared boners.
Looked in each other's eyes.
Yeah, we're like, Blue Chew, all right.
I'm not comparing my boner against that Johnson beast. Get out of here.
We were rubbing heads. It was pretty good. It was fun.
No, we were not.
With Blue Chew, men everywhere are excited to see the postman because when your package has arrived, your package has arrived. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And here's the special deal for the listeners. Try BlueChew.com or try Blue Chew free. When you use the promo code TESD at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TESD to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety instruction, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Yeah, for no other reason, you know, you take it and then you revisit your days back when you were 18 and the boners were rock hard and came plenty.
Is the commercial officially over? Because I want to say something about it, but I don't want to directly have the company endorse what I'm saying. So we can say the commercial's over?
Commercial's over.
And maybe Get Him could look this up, but I read something the other day in the New York Times that said that a new study came out that said taking the active ingredient in Viagra reduces your chances of getting Alzheimer's by a significant amount.
Yeah, I heard that too.
If that's true, that is fucking incredible, man. Think, what's better than that? Save your brain and get rock hard boners? Like, this is a gift from God, man. Like, that's Blue Chew is like a hand coming down from heaven and handing it to you. That's wild.
It's supposed to take the plaque off your brain, right? If I remember the article I read.
Yeah, that's significant, isn't it? Like,
do you ever worry about that?
Alzheimer's?
Dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff?
My
grandfather started getting demented towards the end, so yeah, it's a concern.
I think if you've had relatives.
My mother's been demented ever since I can remember.
But I would imagine, I haven't had any, knock on wood, any relatives suffer from dementia. So it wasn't something that I thought about. Like, oh my God, is that my fate in, you know, in the future? But yeah, if I think that they're going to probably come close to if not curing, like making major strides in dealing with dementia, as you know, hopefully by the time in 20 years, you know, there've been like they could get it really under control and keep it to a minimum.
That'd be nice because it's a pretty ugly disease, man.
Oh, it's really awful.
Although I saw this thing once. It was a lady, the older lady, you know, with her old husband, and she had to put him in a home. And when she went to visit him, like, he didn't remember her. And he was like, hey, do you want to meet my girlfriend? And he, like, had a girl, like an old lady girlfriend there. But the lady was just like, I was happy for him because he was happy. You have to, I guess, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough after, I mean, how long you've been married, 50 years or whatever. And then, suddenly your husband's like, oh, here's my girlfriend. And I don't remember you at all.
Yeah. They're just basically a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when you head right over to fantasies and you start your own path. Walt, could I do a quick I Buy Comics segment?
Yes.
Because I have a recommendation that I think – I don't know if you've even – this is more for you, but there's a comic book there was a comic book last year called Superman Space Age. Have you heard about this one?
No.
Okay. It's the art was by Mike Allred, who we know did Madman. Yes. You know. And it was written by a guy named Mark Russell. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because, one, the series is excellent. And it's a different take on Superman. It's like set back in the 80s and whatnot. But remember how we bagged on Pariah in Crisis so bad for being like a whiny, cryy, like bitch? They've managed to make Pariah like a fucking cool-ass character that I'm like, oh, man, I hope that they do more with this. They just released the first issue of a Batman version of that series. And Pariah's in it. And for the first time in all my years of reading comics, I got fucking excited to see Pariah, dude. It was wild. The art is great. The story's imaginative, like Superman Space Age. And so far, this first issue of the Batman version is a home run as well. I think you would like it. It feels like old school fucking cool comics.
I'm going to check it out. What's the Batman one called?
I think Dark Age.
Barked, okay.
It's Superman Space Age, Batman Dark Age, yeah. And they're all like retro. They're set like a little bit in the past.
Okay.
And dude, it felt like I was reading the comics that I like read when I was
growing up. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they made Pariah cool. Making Pariah cool is something I didn't think no fucking way.
Even Perez couldn't do it.
Lie by comics. No, not at all. Not at all. So there you go. That's I Buy Comics it's corner today.
Want to hear about a Vietnamese dude with an eel in his ass?
Of course. kind of question is that?
Live 12-inch eel removed from Vietnamese man's abdomen after it slid up his anus. Now I have to – you guys are going to have to put on your detective caps and see if you believe this. A Vietnamese man had a live eel surgically removed from his abdomen and doctors believe it slid up his anus. They think the sea creature entered the man's body through his anus, slid through his colon, and then was found after doctors performed an ultrasound and x-ray, which showed a foreign object was in his digestive tract. It says the rectal area has a lot of fecal fluid and is easily infected with bacteria, but it was performed safely, so the surgery did not have any problems. The eel caused intestinal perforation and periodontitis. Periodontitis, a condition that causes inflammation in the stomach or abdomen. And then the man was kept in the hospital after having abdominal pain, having mild abdominal pain after waking up. So my question is.
He definitely got it swimming. He just took maybe a skinny dip.
Yeah, and then the eel was just like.
I don't think there's any funny business going on. I don't think there's any. I don't. Why would you jump to the conclusion that he put it there on purpose?
Well, there was also statistics of people who are it says over 400 people per year in Vietnam or the UK, I can't remember which one, show up to the hospital with objects in their ass, wait, trying to get them out, like light bulbs and eels and all kinds of stuff.
But I think you'd have to be twisted to put a live eel there, though.
Well, what about hamsters and gerbils?
I think those are urban myths.
Oh, I don't think that's ever happened?
I don't think it's ever happened. I think that's the Richard Gere thing and the Rod Stewart thing. I think they're all fucking urban legends and they never happened once. And they just became lore. But yeah, I think no sane person. He might – if he did do it on purpose, he has to be insane then to put a live eel.
There's some
– aren't they electric?
Some are. Not all. I mean, electric eel, I think he might have died because they zap pretty strong. Have you ever seen a person touch an electric eel? It gives them a shock, man. It knocks them back.
Yeah.
So trying to jam it up your ass.
But that may be what he was going for, though.
Oh, like a vibrator almost. Yeah, you might be right.
If that's what he was doing it for pleasure, I think it was just a one in a million chance.
He was just going for a skinny dip and the eel happened to be there?
You don't, they're laughing at you. You don't think so? You don't think it's possible that it was – that he was unlucky and he just happened – happened to swim in it and saw a hole and thought it was a little cavern?
At what point do you just clench? I mean, how much has got to get in there before you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa?
Yeah.
Well, you think like he disappeared like a spaghetti by clenching? It's an eel. Yeah. It's going to keep going. You can't clench forever.
What the fuck is up with this eel? Like, I don't think that it's like going to want to go up to a clenching, dirty, freaking out asshole. Like,
well, compared to the Indian Ocean, I bet you that, you know, I'm sure it was a fucking day at the spa. That guy's asshole compared to the I don't think that the eel probably thought it was dirty at all. You know, people shit in that ocean?
You know, the guy definitely stuck an eel up his ass is what I think. I think of course.
No way. No way.
What are you talking about?
No maniac would do that. Then he's mentally ill then, right? He's probably like he doesn't have a grasp on reality. He's that out of touch with reality.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Like he should be institutionalized.
I mean,
for life.
Who's he hurting besides an eel? Just let him go. Like let him fucking stick.
He's doing his own thing.
What do I care? Yeah. I know a dude. Okay, in a major award, right? One of the three or four major awards.
A Maverick Award?
Entertainment Awards, who, like, told me for a fact that like, he's used his award as a sex toy. I think everything's gone up people's fucking ass.
On another person.
Unclear.
Big difference. Big difference.
Well, I want to fuck you with my Oscar. I didn't say it was an Oscar, but I wouldn't necessarily say that knowing this person that they didn't put it up their own ass at some point. I think if it exists, it's going up some dude's ass.
But it's still a writhing creature. Like it moves. It's a living creature.
But that's the best part. Is it's not just like stationary. It's not static. It's like it's wiggling around in your butt. It's all wet,
making it feel good. No way. I think it was like a total accident, and probably he probably felt it, but just wanted to deny it. Like to himself, was like, I just didn't feel something go up there.
Right.
And it probably then it by not acting on it and trying to deny reality. You know, it slithered further and further and further till then it became like
– this isn't happening. This isn't happening.
And then it became like I got to go. And no one's ever going to believe me, you know, that it was an accident.
Q's commenting it online right now. The eel boy.
It was a boy?
What's up, eel?
It was a guy, yeah.
It was a man. It usually happens to men though. So that kind of – like it always blows my theory out the water though. It's usually – like, you don't ever see girls run to the fucking emergency room with some weird eel up their ass. It's always some wacky.
It's always some dude, yeah. It's always some horny dude.
If it was a girl, would you be more able to believe her if it was an accident?
Well, no, because you've seen that tentacle porn, right?
What's that?
I said you've seen that tentacle porn, so it's entirely possible.
Oh, that is the most repulsive fucking thing, that tentacle porn. Man, I can get through it behind a lot of fucking crazy shit, but that tentacle porn is
so you think that sure. You think that the man with the eel was into tentacle porn? Is it possible?
I think that there's probably an overlap. Yeah, somewhere there. It's horrible.
How come he can't sue the hospital for releasing his fucking records?
Well, I don't think they just said it was a guy. They didn't give it.
But somebody at that hospital though leaked it though.
There's only so much you can do, Walt. If a guy comes in with an eel up his asshole, like we're all humans, you got to tell someone.
But he should
carry that around on your own.
He should be able to find out who leaked that though, because that's wrong. You're not supposed to leak medical issues like that, man.
They should open an investigation and really fucking bring down the house on this guy.
Where was it in?
He's unidentified. Yeah.
Is it Kashmir?
He's in the Quang Ninh province.
Oh, boy.
Wherever that is. Somewhere in Vietnam, I assume.
That is brutal.
I think the doctors are being nice to him by saying, like, yeah, he probably just slid through your butt. We don't suspect you of anything.
But why is it being reported, though? You saw it online.
Right.
You know why. The only reason it's for salacious.
Sure. It's an oddity.
Do you think he started in, like, trying to get a girl to, like, jam a finger up there or something, and then he moved on to a carrot stick, then he moved on to a fucking – to, like, a little vibrator, then he moved – like, he went up and up the ladder until there was nothing left besides, like – I need a fucking heal up my keister.
Could be. Diminishing returns from the fingers and the carrot sticks and shit.
Yeah. You don't start at a kneel is what I'm saying.
No. Right?
Like there's a journey there. Yeah.
So you think there may be different animals that he has gotten to get up there? Or do you think this is the first live animal?
Maybe like an earthworm at first.
For all we know, this is his fifth eel. And this is the first one that went wrong. You know, maybe the four eels before were just fine. He was able to get them out with no problem.
People eat eels too, right?
Yeah. I went to the fish store one time and they had a whole batch of eels in there. I was like, who the fuck would eat this?
Get him ever eat an eel?
No. Nope. Get him says no.
Yeah. Me and Get him want to do a YouTube video about how to escape from quicksand. We were talking about it today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We just don't know if there's any quicksand in New Jersey.
I would think probably not.
Wasn't it something you always feared as a kid?
Yeah, I think Sal does a bit, doesn't he? Sal does a bit where he's like, I think I always thought as a kid quicksand would be a much bigger problem in life when I got older.
But like as a kid in the 70s, man, you saw it on every TV show.
Yeah, there was always somebody getting caught like Gilligan's Island or Land of the Lost.
So I'm a little disappointed to find a real plot of quicksand.
Where quicksand would exist?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me check it out.
Could we make you a quicksand pit and see how it works?
Well, how would you go about that even? It doesn't have to be like a natural occurrence.
I don't know. I don't know. So, I mean, they used to make it for movies, right? They used to make quicksand.
I don't think it was functioning quicksand in the movies though.
It says from Alaska to Florida, but hotspots include the marshy coasts of the southeast, such as Florida and the Carolinas, and the canyons of southern Utah. Southern Utah, northern something or other.
Jim told me he knows a surefire way to get out of quicksand, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would like to see get him in quicksand. Battling his way out.
He told me with such arrogance and bravado that he'd be like, I'd be out in 2 seconds.
He'd be out of the quicksand in 2 seconds? No, I don't know.
You don't believe it? Neither did I.
Well, if you do make the video, just disable the comments.
Well, I'm going to wear a hat. Hats first off. You got to go, Q?
Yeah, I got a couple more minutes.
Okay, all right.
I mean, unless you just want to fucking wrap it up.
No, I know. I know you said you had to go out.
Yeah, I got a sick family member. I got to go deliver something to.
Never ends, bro. You're out there, man. Dude, you're fucking
taking care of sick people all day.
It's the fucking Brian craziest Nightingale. Thing, man. Every fucking weekend is a tour weekend or a travel weekend for some shit. I need a fucking day off, but here I am delivering. I'm like a fucking nurse running around this goddamn island delivering hope to children in Manhattan. I'm delivering drugs to old women on Staten Island. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm happy to be alive, Walt.
Yes.
I'm happy to be able to provide this service for the people.
Yeah.
Assistance. I'm here to serve. You know,
always
the greatest
happen,
thing a man
will
can do
be.
Is serve. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But I got another, 10 minutes or so for the old TESD.
I got
crowd.
A few minutes.
Do we know the results of the poll?
We do. I can look them up right now. Hold on a sec.
Right.
The Will Rogers, Tom Milosheski.
Did I just hang up on him?
Yeah.
Are you still there, Q?
No, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Let me see here.
I know I was crying about my hair, but I kind of looked at some of those comments about that episode, and I don't know if I should be crying about my hair.
Oh, why? They would go – people were like weighing in very seriously.
Yeah, of course. There's always some people who just fucking take it and just go over the line. I don't know what it is with today's listenership that they – some of them, not all of them. But, man, they just got to go – just got to go over the line and be mean. I don't get it.
Yeah, why be mean to us? What do we do?
And by us, all the people who are good enough and kind enough to come onto the show and try to provide some entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
Don't scare them off by like fucking obliterating them and making them feel like shit.
Well, I get the feeling Tom's immune to that, right? Tom?
No.
Are we talking
I don't
about?
Think so.
No.
Oh, really?
No, he's sensitive, man.
Yeah, he's
really?
Just a boy.
Thomas?
I saw one time, I felt so bad. He said that he just wrote, "I feel like I'm the Jar Jar Binks of TSD Town."
He wishes.
Oh.
Right? That, like, it just made, it ruined my weekend.
Yeah.
I felt
that's
so
not
bad.
True.
Did you go after him like he used to go after Jar Jar?
What do you mean?
Didn't you say, like, you had said some unsavory things about Jar Jar and he.
No. Somebody, that Tom wrote that. That he felt like he was the Jar Jar Binks of TSD.
Right.
And it ruined my weekend because I felt that, yeah, I knew how he was feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt horrible that, like, he felt he had to write that. He felt that down that he would go online and write that.
He had to tell somebody. He wasn't telling his wife.
Right.
Because one, she'd be like, who the fuck's Jar Jar Binks? And secondly, it was like, what do you mean he's the loser of the Star Wars universe?
Was that recent he said that to you?
He didn't even say it to me. I just happened to see it online and I was just like, and then I tried to send him some pick me ups without trying to let him know that I had seen him post that, you know,
seen his shame,
you know, like trying to be like, give him a little, like, you know, that was such a great job you did on this and this,
mm-hmm.
hoping that he didn't realize I was just like,
yeah, give him a little
pick me up. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Tom. I like
Tom. All, everybody that comes on. We're all friends, so I don't know why people don't realize that. We are all friends, so there is no need to write – sometimes even write me personally on my email account to tell me how much you don't like somebody or or how they are destroying your enjoyment or something. You know, just dial it down a little bit and just before you send it, just do it yourself. Before read it and go – do I need to send this? And I bet you 99 out of 100 times you'll say to yourself, I really don't need to send this.
Right.
I'm not going to get anything out of this.
Yeah. Well, what people need to understand too, and this is like the same as like back in the Stern days, it's like a huge cast of people. It's unlikely that you're going to fucking love every single one of them. It's not like a guy like, say, Rush Limbaugh, right? Where you're like, you either love him or you hate him or you just don't give a fuck. But it's one guy.
He didn't
have
he didn't have a group of other people that he would bring on, like regulars?
I don't think so. No, I think he was too busy yapping. But with a cast of characters like we have, it's like, sure, not every personality is going to be suited to you. You might not like that person, but it's like, so what? You just got to live with it because that's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, plus, like, to me, it's like, I mean, we've been doing this for so long, like – who's still getting riled up about this show? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
be surprised.
Jesus Christ, guys.
You would think, like, yeah, they all crossed over an age line that they don't have the energy anymore to fucking get to write nasty emails or post nasty comments.
No, now it's worse. They're all ornery and cantankerous and shit.
I think it's that, all that blue chew.
Yeah, like we're not too far away from like these people opening the newspaper and seeing that someone from the show has died. And how are they going to feel then?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Horrible, you would.
And they have Robert Bruce, for example, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But what do you got on the poll? Who won? Rob.
It's at 64% to 36%. Tom, the Jar Jar of Tell 'em Steve Dave Town, has taken the title.
He's taken the title as Mr. Overkill.
As Mr. Overkill, yeah.
Well,
okay. I think if you want to make somebody feel better, I think Will Rogers isn't feeling too good about it.
You know what? Will find you another Mr. Something. You're going to be Mr. Something.
You'd be like Mr. Cleanup after we shoot something. You can come and help the cameraman.
Not really. If Tom is Mr. Overkill, we'll come up with another Mr. title that you can go up against somebody else.
What if he loses again, though?
That's okay. Then we'll come up with another Mr. Blank.
You know what Sage always tells me? Sage is one of these people she goes, never give up.
Right.
Never give up.
Never give up, Dada.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Tell him, Steve.
Sage Abe. And
– oh, sorry. Oh, you. God, Sage, go ahead.
I was going to say Sage and Winston Churchill have the same advice about life. Like, that's pretty cool.
We'll fight them on the beaches.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if Sage could have rallied Europe the way that Winston Churchill did.
Yeah, probably not. Wait, what's she talking about?
Before we do jump, because I have been thinking about Tom and Will since we recorded that. And I honestly thought Will – first of all, you didn't lose by that much. He only lost by like 10%. That's – you know what I mean? It's not that big of a gap.
I don't know what math you guys have on Staten Island.
It's more like 28%.
Well, you know, out of 100.
It's fuzzy and then, math in Staten Island.
It's math fuzzy. Is racist. Like,
it is. But – I thought he did a great job. I thought he clearly – it was important to him and he loved it. I felt like maybe, just maybe, we didn't explain to him the assignment as well as we could have.
I don't know if
that's
accurate.
Come on, Walt. Walt. Come on, Walt.
I don't want to get on. I don't want to take the blame.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do.
That wasn't my fault, but I was specifically and clearly wrote in a text what we needed. But that's okay, though, because when – both of those guys came in and provided, I thought, a banger of an episode, and they will both come on again in the future and provide more content. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. It doesn't matter who won or lost. Was the episode good? I thought it was. Some people did. Some people didn't. Just like fucking every other form of entertainment.
Sure.
Right.
Right?
And every episode of the show.
Right. I don't get it sometimes. Yeah. It is confounding, but we'll find something.
Well, I think this
– that Mr. Will Rogers there. Will become Mr. Will Blank Rogers.
It's not overkill.
It's not overkill.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Right. But like we said, I think we said it to him off air where it's just like, dude, you're already a part. Like you're already in. Like
you got your foot in the door, and once you get your foot in the door, it's hard to to find your way out the door.
Right. So his loss was exactly what we needed from him, and he gave it to us.
And he's working on something right now that I am so excited for that I can't wait for this Halloween to announce, and it's going to be awesome, and he's great for TSD. As is Tom. As is everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a flower in TSD town. If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, say nothing. But if you do have something nice to say, scream it from the hills of TSD town.
Now, if you have something nasty to say, just come tell me privately.
Tell him, Steve, Dave.
Not Flake. Will you fight your friends? Will you fight it for your own sins? Will you fight your great classmates? Crisis for your Fight your island? Girls not the baby. Fight your bitches? Fight your night grounds? Fight your clothes? And your sweets? Fight your hearse? So your sweater?